Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi guys, back for another episode of Donald Trump's Art of the Deal. Chapter 4, The Cincinnati Kid, Putin's Pays. Trump is going to let us in on one of his very first deals while he was working for his father. In college, while my friends were reading the comics and the sports pages of newspapers, I was reading the listings of FHA foreclosures. It might seem a bit abnormal to study lists of federally financed housing projects and foreclosure, but that's what I did. And that's how I found out about Swifton Village. It was a job that I bought with my father while I was in college, and it was my first big deal. Now Trump's going to explain some details of the project. Swifton Village was a 1,200-unit apartment development in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was a very troubled place. There were 800 vacant apartments. The developers had gone under, the government had foreclosed, and the whole deal was a disaster. But from our perspective, that was great because it gave us a terrific opportunity. A lot of time, when you are dealing with a government agency on a foreclosure, they just want to get out of it as quickly as possible. They aren't equipped to manage it. In this case, things had deteriorated so badly, no one else was even bidding. All right, so Trump was using his free time as a college student to look up these lists where he could find foreclosed properties that were going to be sold in a hurried fashion by government agencies. So whenever someone's in a rush to sell, and we'll find out at the end of this chapter, there is an opportunity and potentially a mistake by the person who's in a rush. All right. Eventually, Trump and his father put up a minimal bid, which was accepted. They ended up paying less than $6 million for the development, and it had cost twice as much just to build in the previous 2 years. Already, he was getting a deal. Here, we have an interesting lesson that comes up. He says, the fact that it was such a big job appealed to my father and to me because it meant we could focus a lot of energy on it without feeling we were wasting our time. It takes almost the same amount of energy to manage 50 units as it does 1,200, except that with 1,200, you have a much bigger upside. All right, so this is something that comes up again and again. So Trump loves to say, if you're going to be thinking anyway, might as well think big. So in that context, there's the same 24 hours, everyone has them, the same amount of energy, broadly speaking. If you focus your energy on bigger things, you can get bigger outcomes. Whereas a person focuses on smaller things may use as much energy, right? So it's kind of this paradigm that Trump has that to make things interesting, go for the biggest project, go for the biggest deal. And we see it also in his foray in politics, right? He went right away for the office of president. He did not attempt municipal politics or state politics or any House, Senate, right? Congressional politics. He went straight for the presidency. That was what it took to motivate him. Here is the takeaway: to go for the bigger deals, go for the bigger project, and go for the bigger office. Not only is it motivating for you because you aim higher, but also it takes just as much energy. Right, so it's a fallacy to think that it's much harder to do a much bigger job. At the end of the day, everyone has 24 hours. Everyone has, right? The bigger the job, the bigger the teams you have that can help you get the job done. If you go up in an organization, the CEO gets paid much more. Right? He has to make bigger decisions. But at the end of the day, the CEO will have greater responsibilities. True, he will have to make more important decisions, true as well, for a much higher salary. What's not true, though, is that he won't have necessarily more work to do. There will not be more tasks for him to complete or more load physically to carry. The higher up you go in an organization, the less operational is the work, the more strategic it is. Jeff Bezos often says that he's only paid to make one or two good decisions per year, right? Maybe that's catching a trend before it happens. And seeing Trump as a president, he's signing executive orders, he's giving directions to the different offices around his executive team, and he's setting the tone for how the country is treated on the international scene. Although he is particularly involved and has incredible energy compared to his predecessors, the role is more of a strategic role. And he's not working necessarily harder than someone who's working 24-hour shift in a hospital, right? He does have time to golf. He does have time to see his grandchildren. He does have time to incorporate some leisure in his hectic schedule. So this is to say that the more important the role, of course, the more important the responsibilities, and the higher the pay, and higher the prestige. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it takes more energy than quote-unquote lesser job. So here the lesson is to aim high, right? And to live up to Trump's statement that if you will be thinking anyway, might as well think big. All right, Trump moves on. After we negotiated a deal, success became a matter of management and marketing. The challenge was to get the place rented and rent it to good tenants who would stay there. The tenants who were living in the project when I took over had ripped the place apart. Right, here we're going to see, it's interesting, Trump's first kind of encounter, if you will, with, you'll see the parallel, with his vice president, J.D. Vance. I'm making a jump here. Trump says, many of them had come down from the hills of Kentucky. They were very poor and had 7 or 8 children, almost no possessions, and no experience living in an apartment complex. Many people from Kentucky left the state and went to Ohio, Cincinnati among them, to find better jobs and better prospects. And J.D. Vance explains that in his book. And he was a child of this migration, if you will. So basically, Trump says the situation with the tenants was not very reliable. Trump and his father did was that they invested in complete renovations to make the housing project look better. The first thing we did was invest in beautiful white shutters for the windows. That may not sound like a big deal, but what the shutters did was give a bunch of cold red brick buildings a feeling of warmth and coziness, which was important. It was also much more expensive than you'd guess, because you're talking about 1,200 units, each of which has 8 to 10 windows. The next thing we did was rip out the cheap, horrible aluminum front doors on the apartments, put up beautiful colonial white doors. I made sure the whole complex was very clean and very well maintained. Okay, Trump's going to give us a great lesson here. As I said earlier, I've always had a personal thing about cleanliness, but I also believe it's a very good investment. For example, if you want to sell a car and you spend $5 to wash and polish it, then apply a little extra elbow grease, suddenly you find you can charge an extra $400 and get it. I can always tell a loser when I see someone with a car for sale that is filthy, dirty. It's so easy to make it look better. It's no different in real estate. Well-maintained real estate is always going to be worth a lot more than poorly maintained real estate. Here, basically, Trump is saying that it's going for the low fruits, basically. If you can do a little bit of efforts on the appearance, which doesn't cost that much, but shows that you care, you go much further. And if someone doesn't have doesn't have the reflex to do that little step, it says a lot. And Trump usually dismisses these people as sloppy or incompetent. Many things are in the details, and sometimes it's little things that make the whole difference in separating amateurs from professionals. All right, he goes on with the renovations. We painted the hallways, we sanded and stained the floors, we kept the vacant apartments immaculately clean, and we landscaped the grounds. We also ran beautiful newspaper ads for the project at a time when not many people in Cincinnati were advertising real estate. People came to check us out, and the word of mouth started getting good. Within a year, the buildings were 100% rented. Right, so here just hints at the importance of marketing or getting the word out, right? You can have the best product in the world. If no one knows about it, no one knows about it, right? So you have to, no matter what field you are in, also have a communication strategy that lets the world know about your achievement, what you're up to, and that there's a great development in the neighborhood. And it's features here. Trump was doing marketing then already, before it was in fashion for Billings. And now he's going to explain how he selected the manager for the building. Along the way, we went through a half dozen different project managers before we found the one we wanted. We had managers who were honest but dumb, including one guy who literally painted himself into the corner of an apartment. Others were smart, but they didn't know the first thing about managing. Fortunately, we went through them fast because I tend to size people up pretty quickly. Classic Trump trick is sizing up quickly. If you see the number of decisions he has to make in terms of appointments of judges at different levels throughout the country, or the cabinet positions that he appoints, or the number of people he has to deal with, and he gladly deals with in all 50 states, and the different towns that he has to be able to make people decisions very quickly, right? For who he's going to surround himself with, who he's going to invest his time with, whose endorsement does he want, will he give his endorsement to, right? We see it. The more recent news, very important for him and for whoever's in office to have a loyal team. And so he says, ultimately, we got a fabulous man whom I'll call Irving. Irving was 65 years old and a real character. He was one of the greatest bullshit artists I've ever met. But in addition to being a very sharp talker and a very slick salesman, he was also an amazing manager. Irving was the kind of guy who worked perhaps an hour a day and accomplished more in that hour than most managers did in 12 hours. I learned something from that. It's not how many hours you put in, it's what you get done while you're working. Right, so a great one. It's not how many hours you put in, it's what you get done while you're working. And so people can just, quote-unquote, kill time for the whole day and still be the first one in office and last one out. Doesn't mean they got anything done, whereas someone who strolls in and out earlier, right, comes later in the morning, leaves earlier in the afternoon, could still get a much more productive output, right? So the appearance of the hours is not really what makes a difference. And Trump here just acknowledges that in a beautiful way. He understands that what he needs is someone who's effective over other metrics. Now he's going to elaborate on his character. The problem with Irving was that he wasn't the most trustworthy guy in the world. I suspected as much from the first day, but it wasn't until I tried to put a bond on him, something I do with any employee who handles.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Those money. that my instincts were confirmed. My insurance agent called me back after running a check and he said, Donald, you've got to be kidding about a bond. This guy's a con man. It turned out that Irving had done all sorts of con jobs and swindles. He'd often been in trouble with the law. My philosophy has always been that if you ever catch someone stealing, you have to go after him very hard, even if it costs you 10 times more than he stole. Stealing is the worst, but with Irving, I had a dilemma. He was far and away more capable than any honest manager I had found. And so long as he was in charge, no one under him would dare steal. That meant I only had to keep my eye on him, right? On one person instead of on the whole structure. I used to kid Irving. I'd say, we pay you $50,000 and all you can steal. And he would act all upset. If I'd caught him in the act, I would have fired Irving on the spot, but I never did. Still, I figure he managed to steal at least another $50,000 a year. Even so, I was probably getting a bargain. All right, so Trump's assessed and realized that although he's a colorful character, in terms of managing the buildings, he's pretty effective. And he's not very reliable with certain things, maybe the accounting or an element of the money keeping. But for what Trump needed him, he was effective at collecting rent, among other things. And then Trump explains how he was good at collecting rent, that he had a big mouth, that he was very bold, and that got him in trouble once. So he took the exercise a bit far. He was in front of an apartment that was late in payment. He yelled in front of the woman's daughter, and then he tried to seduce the woman who was not interested. And so he stopped then, but she mentioned it to her husband, who was a monster, someone very tall, very muscular. The husband barged into the office, and it's worth going into that interaction. Trump takes something away from it. About an hour later, Irving and I were sitting in his office when this huge guy, a monster, maybe 240 pounds, burst through the door. He was furious that Irving had cursed in front of his daughter, and he was ready to strangle him for coming on to his wife. The guy had murder in his eyes. I expected Irving, if he had any sense, to run for his life. Instead, he started verbally attacking the man, flailing and screaming and chopping his hands in the air. You get out of this office, he said. I'll kill you. I'll destroy you. These hands are lethal weapons. Register with the police department. I'll never forget how the guy looked at Irving and said, you come outside, you fat crap. I want to burn grass with you. I always love that phrase, Trump says. Burn grass. And I thought to myself, Irving's in serious trouble. But Irving didn't seem to think so. I'd fight you any time you want, he said, but it's unlawful for me to fight. All you had to do was look at Irving to know that those hands were hardly registered weapons. But Irving was very much like a lion tamer. You've seen these guys, maybe 150 pounds, walk blithely into a cage where there's a magnificent 800-pound lion pacing around. If that animal sensed any weakness or any fear, he'd destroy the trainer in a second. But instead, the trainer cracks his whip, walks with authority, and amazingly, the lion listens, which is exactly what Irving did with this huge guy, except his whip was his mouth. The result was that the guy left the office. He was still in a rage, but he left. Irving probably saved his own life just by showing no fear, and that left a very vivid impression on me. You can't be scared. You do your thing. You hold your ground. You stand up tall, and whatever happens, happens. Let me repeat that. Irving probably saved his own life just by showing no fear, and that left a very vivid impression on me. You can't be scared. You do your thing. You hold your ground. You stand up tall, and whatever happens, happens. Can't be scared. Do your thing. Hold your ground. Stand up tall, and whatever happens, happens. Where do we see a parallel to this? It's in the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt. Trump gets up right away, looks at the crowd, and says, fight, fight, fight. While there's an active shooter situation, that takes boldness, that takes courage. Many people were impressed with Trump when that happened, including Mark Zuckerberg, who's quoted on Bloomberg saying, this was the most baddest thing he's seen in his life. Yeah, I think this is exactly what he said with Miss Emily Chang of Bloomberg. Right, so here's a lesson. in fearlessness and in that, which the image you project is very important. Trump is seeing this in real time, how a little bald, fat 65-year-old is able to verbally assess his authority and get away from a very potentially dangerous situation just using his confidence. Right. So, of course, this is something that Trump is going to remember. Well, Irving was running it well. Trump started spending less and less time, and he wasn't really needed in Cincinnati anymore. So he stopped visiting Swifton and just went from coming once a week to once a month. And he says he's going to a friendship. Early on, I'd become particularly friendly with one of the newer tenants at Swifton. He was Jewish, an older man who'd been in a concentration camp in Poland. He started off in America as a butcher, then bought the shop, and by the time I met him, he owned perhaps 14 butcher shops. He and his wife had taken two apartments in Swifton and put them together, and they had a great place, and they were very happy there. I had a lot of respect for this guy because he had street smarts. He'd been around, and he was obviously a true survivor. One day, a number of years after we first bought the place, I was out visiting. I ran into my friend. "How are you doing? How are you feeling?" I asked. "Good, good," he replied. But then he took me aside and whispered, "Donald, you are a friend of mine, and I have to tell you, sell this job." And I said, "Why?" "Because it's going real bad. Not the job, but the area. It's being surrounded by people who are so bad, they will cut your throat and walk away, not even think about it. I'm talking about people who enjoy cutting throats." That was the exact expression. I never forgot it. Now, I'm someone who responds to people I have respect for, and I listen. Again, it's instincts, not marketing studies. So I spent an extra 2 days in Cincinnati, and I rode around, and I saw that there was trouble brewing, that neighborhoods were getting rough. I put the job for sale, and almost immediately we got an offer. Right, so here, Trump is letting us in on another one of his big, big secrets. It's that, right, the obvious one is great instincts, that he relies on them. But how does he feed the instincts? He listens. He listens to people that he has respect for. Right? All right. So in confidence, elderly person recommended to Trump to sell for a good reason. And was explaining that the neighborhood was not what it once was, that it was turning into something else. And Trump heeded that warning. Trump was not dismissive of that. He looked into it and he confirmed it. And then he put the property for sale. And he's going to explain how there was a REIT that immediately put in an offer. They sent in a young guy who just wanted to go for lunch. Instead of visiting property, all he wanted was go for lunch, which Trump doesn't like to do. So they had a very long lunch. The guy just told his superiors to approve the deal. And then as the deal eventually was approved, but in the meantime, the contract. What happened next is that we signed a contract. By then, I could see the dark clouds clearly on the horizon. A lot of tenants had their leases coming up and weren't planning to renew. So Trump's going to explain two things that he did in the contracts to anticipate the situation and proving that he had the right instinct, and then also showing how the other side of the negotiation were just a bit sloppy and in a rush. All right, they didn't do a proper on the property. So no diligence on the other side. Here's what Trump did. "We put a clause in the contract of sale saying that all representations contained in it were as of the signing of the contract, not as of the closing, which is what's typically required. In other words, we were willing to represent that the project was 100% rented at the time of the contract signing, but we didn't want to make the same promise at the time of closing, 3 or 4 months down the line." It's what Trump saw it coming, that tenants would be leaving without renewing, and for kind of hedged his end of the contract by saying it's currently at 100, but we don't guarantee that it will be at 100 when we close. The second thing. The other thing I did was to insist on a clause in the contract in which they guaranteed they'd close or else pay a huge penalty. That was also very unusual because it nearly In nearly every other deal, the buyer puts up a 10% deposit. And if he fails to close, all he forfeits is the deposit. Frankly, the prudent people should have been more prudent. But as I said, the REITs were hot to trot, and they couldn't make deals fast enough. In the end, of course, it never pays to be in too much of a hurry. On the day we closed, there were dozens of vacant apartments. And so we see from the two clauses that Trump really hedges bet is none of the contracts. The first clause was in regards to the occupancy, right? 100% at the time of signing, not necessarily at the time of closing. The second thing was that on top of the deposit, Trump wanted another punitive measure in case they didn't go through. And that was just to add a huge penalty so that they wouldn't just lose their deposit and they would have to pay something else on top. And that kind of really locked them into the contract. And the REIT in question, the real estate investment trust that invested in, that bought the development, was called Prudent. And of course, they weren't very prudent. And this is why this chapter is called Prudence Pays. All right, so we see that Trump was prudent in his diligence when he purchased the property, right? So there was a lot of upside. He was also prudent when he, we can say cautious, when he, after interviewing many different managers, found the right one for the job, but still kept an eye on him, right? With prudence, right? He chose efficiency with an asterisk, right? And finally, also, Trump showed prudence by being very diligent in the contract, right? By having these two clauses, he makes sure that he gets out of the deal with the upper hand. And, right, that if the market turns, if the occupancy of that specific building or set of buildings turns as he saw it coming, it wouldn't play against him. And likewise, if they were to have cold feet and not go through the deal, still they would have to pay such a hefty fee that Trump would be winning then as well. So he didn't let, although right, his friend, the Jewish Holocaust survivor, give him advice and give him an assessment that the neighborhood was changing, he didn't let this reality change his hand. He still made the most of what he had. He got in quick, sorry, he got out quickly and set up the conditions to get out while protecting his asset. And so he protected the hand he had before, even though he knew that what was coming was not favorable to the property. Here is another masterclass in negotiation, or if you will, teaches us the importance of diligence, of prudence, and on the flip side, that what not to do in negotiation or in deal making is to be the impatient party or the undiligent party. All right, so that was an interesting chapter, a foray into one of Trump's first big deals. It landed them an upside of $6 million. They sold for 12. And they bought for sex. So a quick and early success for Trump, and one that certainly that fueled this momentum and ambitions as we move on. Next chapter will be the move to Manhattan. Thanks for listening.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.